Excellent, excellent. Well, good morning and welcome. If I haven't had the opportunity to meet you, my name is Chris. I'm lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace, and we're really excited to walk into this morning. It's a little bit of a different Sunday because we're kind of in between series here, and as we prepare to walk into Remix next week, I wanted to be able to take a week to just talk about the summer. And I don't know if you guys know this or not. I don't know how you feel about this or not, but summer's here. Have you realized this? How many of you are excited about the summer? Okay, more of you than the first service, which is good because it was kind of depressing in the first service. But even there, I could tell a couple of you were holding back, and I'm wondering if some of you feel the way that I felt this past week, because all of a sudden my kids weren't going to school anymore, and I found myself at the pool with my boys, and I'm like, oh my goodness, summer's here. And rather than being excited about it, I was very, very nervous about it, because I don't know about you, but I'm not ready for summer yet. I'm not ready for summer to be here. I have way too much going on for summer to be here, and you don't want to have a lot going on when summer gets here. Do you feel the same way as I? You don't want to have, and I'm looking at, I'm like, oh my goodness, summer's actually here, but you don't want to be busy in the summer. You want to be able to make sure that you can make the most of summer, because you have to be able to enjoy summer, and you have to relax in summer. And I was sitting there thinking, oh, I can't believe it's here. I can't believe that it's here. And I think all of us feel that way. You want to make the most of summer because you know, like, it doesn't last very long. And all of a sudden it's gone and it's winter again and you're sad. And now some of you are watching from San Diego and you have no idea what we're talking about. And you won't be able to relate to today. So you should just turn it off and move on, because you don't understand what we go through. And these couple months arrive and you have to be able to make the most of them and to enjoy them. Because, I mean, you don't know. It might be the last summer you have. I joke with my wife about this all the time, because she gets this anxiety when we're ordering at a restaurant that I'm kind of talking about with summer. The way that it works is this: we sit down at the table and we have our menus, and I choose what I'm going to eat, which is the same thing I always eat, because you guys know me, I'm boring routine and all that. So I just choose the same thing, and she's looking at the menu and I always tell her, I say, Anna, choose carefully. It might be your last meal. It might be your last meal. She's like, I just want to make the most of it. And we feel that way when we come into summer. Like, I have to make the most of it. And on top of that, it's kind of tricky, because on top of that, we also have the pressure of living in what I call the idle market. In other words, we live in a place that is better at selling idols than anywhere else in the world. And as Americans, we're good at selling in general. We're good at selling and convincing other people that they need what it is that we have. It started off at the beginning that we actually sold things that people needed. But then everybody had what they needed, and we still needed to sell. So then we figured out, okay, how do we sell things that we don't really need, but we got to convince you that you do need. And we live in a place that's really, 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 really good at that. And we talk about these things like needs. Is anyone here a Shark Tank fan? Any of you watch Shark Tank? Like four of you. You guys are lying. It's not that bad of a show. Like, you can admit it in public. But for those of you who don't know, it's kind of an entrepreneurial show, and people come on and they pitch what it is that they're selling, and people invest in it and this type of thing. But the thing that's really interesting to me is that they often talk about it that, oh, we have to find a need and then meet that need. And it's just kind of funny to me, because the guy's pitching a sweatshirt that turns inside out into a backpack. Is that a need? Is that really a need? I mean, yeah, it's nice. It's nice to have. Is it really? But we talk about it. We talk about it as a need, and it's even more than that. It's not just that we're selling something that you need. We're selling something that you need to be alive, right? And that if you're going to live to the fullest, man, you need this. And if you're going to be loved, and if you're going to be appreciated, and then you need this. And if you just drink this, if you drink this beer, you will be on a beach every day. Find your beach. Find your beach. If you drive this car, you can have the confidence of Matthew McConaughey. What is up with that? That's just a weird one. I don't want to be him. What? I don't get it. But we're really good at this and convincing each other that, well, you've got to have this to be alive. And Instagram, it contributes to this as well, right? Because we're really, it's not just that other people are good at selling idols. Like, we're good at selling idols, and we're good at selling them to each other. And so we take pictures of our happy life and look at our happy life, and we post them, and it can mess with you in the summer because you're constantly looking at people on vacation, and you think they're constantly on vacation. It's just that we only take pictures of ourselves on vacation. So that's all that you see. This next year, we're actually doing a series called In Between the Instagrams. I'm really, really excited about it. But Instagram has an unbelievable ability to kind of mess with us when it comes to the summer. And I wish that I was there, and I've got to do this, and I've got to go here, and I've got to go, and it can begin to lead us into a really interesting idea of what it means to make the most of summer. And I think that this idea of making the most of summer, I think that it's actually a good idea as long as we have the right perspective. And so as we prepare to walk into this summer that's here, what I want to do is I want to take us to a passage that I think just reminds us of what that perspective is going to be. And if we only live once, if we're going to make the most of what's before us, if we're going to make the most of our summer, then I think that this is important. In order to do that, what I want to do is I want to take you to a passage. It's actually found in the book of Philippians. And I know some of you are like, wait, Philippians? Didn't we spend like 4 months in Philippians? And now we're going back to Philippians. But here's the thing. There's like three verses that we skipped in Philippians, and this is one of them. So we're going to go back. I want to take you back to that, because again, I think there's something really powerful here. As Paul's writing to the church, he's talking to them about what's most important. He wants them to know the joy of their faith, and he's been walking them through what that means and what that looks like. He's called them to imitate him, to live like he's lived, to live for what he's lived for. And then he says something interesting. It starts off Philippians chapter 3, beginning of verse 17. It says this. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example." Again, he's saying, listen, I want for you to follow my example. I want for you to live for what I've been living for. "For I've told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows that they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite." Now, I want to pause here for a second, because when we think of this idea of, man, I need to make the most of the summer, and you only live once, this idea can really easily lead to living for this.
As a matter of fact, all summer, you're going to hear messages that, listen, you need to make the most of the summer, and so live for this. Live to satisfy your urges. Live to satisfy your appetites. And if you're going to make the most of the summer, then you're going to live for this. And I want to pause there for a second, because I just want to call that out, because it's an easy road to go down. And some of you, as you look to the summer, you've really set up the entire summer to be about this. Let me tell you something. If you live your summer for this, as you come to the end of it, you're going to regret it. Because when you live your life just to satisfy your appetites, there's something that follows really, really quickly after that. And you gotta be careful, because the message that you're gonna hear over and over again is, man, if you're gonna make the most of the summer, you gotta feed those appetites and make sure that you feel good. And it's very, very, very dangerous. He says, I want you to imitate me. And I've told you before that there are those who just live to satisfy their own appetites, and they're headed for destruction. It says they brag about shameful things, and they think only about this life here on earth. And it's interesting, because as he talks about appetites, he connects it with, and it's tied to this idea that, no, this is all there is. I'm living for today. I'm living for the moment. I'm living for what it is that I can see. And again, you're going to hear this message over and over and over again. You're going to be tempted throughout the summer to live for that. But then he contrasts it, and he says, but we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. He says there are those who live just for the moment. There are those who live just for their appetites, and how can I feed those appetites? He says, but it's different with you. You don't just look at the moment. You don't just look at what's right here. Like, you understand that you're eternal. You understand that there's more to it than that. You understand that today doesn't just impact today, like it impacts eternity. And for those of you who are here and you're pursuing this idea of Jesus and what this is about, and trying to figure this out, I just want to call your attention to this really quickly, because I want for you to understand. Because some of you think that this whole relationship with Jesus thing, it's like a moment by moment thing, and you're hoping that you're good enough, and there's no security in it with you at all. But it's really interesting, when you look at Paul, he had incredible security about the future. Why? Because his relationship with God, it wasn't based on what was happening in the moment, it was based on what Jesus did. And as you're sorting through this whole Jesus thing, you need to understand that this isn't just about the moment, this is about eternity, and that you can have incredible confidence about your eternity. And Paul says, we aren't those who just live for the moment. Like, we understand that we're eternal. We understand that there's a future, and we understand that it impacts the future, and we live not just for what's right in front of us, not just for our appetites. We live for what's eternal and what matters and what's significant. And then as he continues, he says something really powerful. He says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. I love you and long to see you, dear friends, for you are my joy and the crown I receive for my work. So he says, no, we're not those who just live for the moment and what we can see here. No, we're those who live for what's eternal and what's significant. And he says, therefore, stay true to this path. Stay true in your pursuit of him. He says, I love you and long to see you. And then listen to what he says. He says, for you are my joy and the crown I receive for my work. And in this moment, as he's calling them out of the moment and into what's eternal, he calls them to an incredibly powerful truth. It's one that almost all of us know, but it's so easy to forget. And that is this. He says, I want for you to know, as we move from the moment to the eternal, that what matters most is people. What matters most, what lasts, what's eternal, what's significant, is people. He says, I want for you not just to be in the moment, but to focus on what's eternal. And I want for you to see that you, not only do I love you, but you are my joy. You are what's going to last. You are the crown. You are the reward. You are the reward for what it is that I'm striving in. Throughout the scriptures, as Paul writes to the church, multiple times he talks about the reward for his work, for his labor. He talks about how we're going to be rewarded for what it is that we invest in. And he's saying to them, he says, no, you are the reward. And what matters and what lasts and what's eternal and what's significant is people. It's people. But this is tricky because we live in a world that wants to get us to pursue all sorts of different things. And as you go into the summer, you're gonna be pulled in a million different directions, and you're gonna be tempted to build your summer around a million different things. But I want to make sure that we have the right perspective, and I want to make sure that we make the most of summer. And in doing that, I want to bring us back to this, because if we're going to make the most of summer, it won't be about the places that we go and the things that we see. It will be about people. It will be about how we impact people. One of the problems that we have here at Hoboken Grace is that there's too many young people, and what I mean by that is this: a lot of us, we're young and we don't know anything. And in case you weren't offended by the first statement, the second one should do it. And I still include myself in that, although I'm not sure that I can anymore. I turned 40 in a couple of weeks here, and I know I'm shocked when I look in the mirror too, but the problem is that when you're young, you think that it's the places that you'll go and the pictures that you take that will mean something in the future. But you know what I don't? You know what I've never experienced? I've never experienced meeting someone who has age who showed me a bunch of pictures of places that they've been. They show me pictures, but it's not of places. You know what the pictures are? People. Why? Because what lasts, what's significant, is people.
And I want to make sure as we walk into the summer that we make the most of it. I think it's an important thing for you to walk into the summer and say, now I want to make the most of it, but if you're going to do that, don't be distracted by the idols. Pay attention to what's important. Don't be pulled in all sorts of different directions and thinking that, well, I've got to go there and I've got to make this and get so busy that you miss people. And you know what's annoying about people? A lot. But there's a few things in particular, and one of them is this. One of the really annoying things about people is that they take time. And that you have to create space for them, and you rarely ever impact people accidentally. You have to create time, and not only that, even worse, you have to create time when you have energy. I learned this when my boys were first born, because I decided I was going to be a dad who was home, and so I'd go to work early, and I'd work super, super hard, and I'd make sure that I was home. And one day, my wife said to me, she said, I don't even think it matters that you're home. Like, you have no energy. You're just dead. You walk in the door, and you might as well just lay down on the floor and just be like a rug for us, because there's no energy when you walk in that door. And it doesn't just create time, but you have to have time when you have energy, which means that you can't spend your whole life chasing after all these things that don't mean anything. And then when you get to be with people, there's nothing left.
Yeah. It takes time, it takes energy. Let me ask you, as you look at your summer, what is your summer built around? Because all of us, we look at summer and we say, okay, we gotta make the what is it built around? And the reality is summer gives some incredible opportunities to be able to invest in what matters most. Even when you look at what's happening here at Hoboken Grace, one of the really interesting things is that throughout the summer, it's a great opportunity to invite someone to be a part of the conversation of who Jesus is for the first time. As a matter of fact, as we walk into the Remix series, one of the things that we did with the Remix series is that every week stands alone. In other words, you don't have to be there the week before in order to understand it. We did that. Why? So you could invite people all summer long, and it doesn't matter which Sunday they're available, that they can walk in and they can hear the truth of who Jesus is and not feel like, well, what did they talk about last week? No, it's all designed so that you can help people step into this conversation for the first time, and summer's an awesome chance to be able to do that. Summer is an amazing opportunity to be able to build a relationship or strengthen a relationship with someone inside of your dinner group, or maybe even just someone else here at church. And so you sit next to each other because you guys kind of sit in the same areas most of the time. Some of you don't. Some of you migrate, but others of you, I can tell, like, that's your area and you've nested there. And so you sit next to the same people around you and you shake their hand occasionally, but you don't actually know who they are. And summer is a great opportunity to, like, invite them to lunch and get to know someone new, and you can invite them and go sit up on Washington and sit outside and it's not miserable and cold. It's a great opportunity to be able to do that. Summer's a great opportunity to be able to build new relationships with people who don't know Jesus. One of the things that we're really excited about as we walk into this fall is that we're going to be walking into a really powerful conversation about purpose. And why it is that you exist, and the fact that you're not here on accident, not one of you, I don't care who you are. That you are here on purpose. And one of the things that we want to do as we walk into that conversation is that we want for you to invite your friends to be a part of that study with you and to be a part of, really, I mean, it's, we're going to call them dinner groups, but it's really a book club where you're coming together to be able to work through this conversation. You don't have to freak them out and invite them to a dinner group. They're like, what is a dinner group? Just come to my book club with me. But here's the thing. In order for you to do that, here's what you have to do. You have to make friends.
And some of you have them and some of you don't. And summer's a great chance to make friends. And some of you are like, well, I don't have any friends. Just shoot for three. Try to make three friends this summer. I know for some of you it's a big stretch. Let's be able to go in and say, man, I want to build a relationship with some people who don't know the truth of who Jesus is, and I'm going to be intentional about that. So that when the fall comes and we're walking through this conversation, that you can invite them to be a part of that conversation with you. For some of you, you already have three friends, and so you could go for 10. Some of you are like really extroverted, and you could go for 20. Others of you, you're introverted like me, and you're like, wait a second, isn't summer when you get away from people? And I actually want to challenge you a little bit, because for those of you who are extroverted like me, I think that this is a really powerful verse in our lives. And if you met me years ago, I used to be like super introvert. Some of you are like, man, Chris, you're already an introvert. No, I used to be really introverted. I didn't talk to people. I didn't like people. I didn't want anything to do with people. And it was actually this passage and a couple of others just like it that my mentor used to bring to me over and over and over and over and over again. And he used to say to me all the time, he said, Chris, the only thing that matters is people. The only thing God gave his life for is people. And I had to make a decision in my life. Was I going to build my life around my personality, or was I going to build my life around what matters? And I had to challenge myself and push myself. And for some of you, it's not a joke what I said earlier, like two friends, like that's a crowd for you. And but here's the thing. What is it that lasts? We're not those who just live for the moment. We're those who live for what's eternally significant. And what matters is people. Summer is also a great opportunity to be able to begin impacting if you haven't begun that journey in the past. And sometimes I'll talk to people about stepping on the team here, and they'll say, well, it's summer, I'm traveling a lot. And I'll say to them, okay, then it's a great time for you to get trained throughout the summer as you're here and the time that you're here, so that when the fall comes, then you're ready to go. It's a great time to be able to do that. We've got some amazing things that are coming up in the fall that I'd love for you to be able to be a part of, especially if you've been here at Hoboken Grace, but you've been an observer and you haven't been a participant yet. One of them is our Buddies program. As we walk into the fall, we're looking to build out significantly our Buddies program. And for those of you who aren't aware of this, one of the things that we want to do here at Hoboken Grace is that we want every child to be able to be a part of Grace Kids, no matter what it is that they struggle with. And inside of our country, what's happening with special needs, the number of children with special needs is just rising and rising and rising. And what we don't want is for someone to come into Grace Kids and struggle to be a part of it because of the fact that they have a special need. And so one of the things that we want to do is we want to make it possible that no matter what it is that they struggle with, that there's someone who's alongside of them through that whole time there, so that they can continue to learn about who Jesus is, so that they can thrive inside that environment. For those of you who don't know, my second son, Kale, was born with Down syndrome. And every week, he has a buddy, his friend Jack, who goes to class with him. Makes it possible for Kale to be in that environment. Makes it possible for Kale to be able to learn about who Jesus is. It's not possible without his buddy. And one of the things that we want to do as we go into the fall is that we want to be able to communicate out to our community. Listen, for those of you who are special needs parents, and I don't know if you know this or not, but this happens frequently. It blows my mind that this happens, but it happens frequently. Where special needs parents will take their child to a church, and the church will tell them, your child can't come here. And so you know what they've done? They've stopped going to churches. And we want to be able to communicate out to our community, listen, this is a place for you. But we don't want them to show up and then us go recruit a buddy for them. We want to be able to have a group of people who are prepared and ready. And listen, you don't have to have special training to do this. We will train you and prepare you and get you ready for this. But to have a group of people that are ready so that when they show up, we're like, let's go get them and let's go. And this summer is a great chance for you to get into that, and we'll get you trained and ready so that in the fall when people show up, this place is packed, and we're able to communicate that out and love those kids really, really, really well. In addition to that, as we walk into the fall, not only are we going to have Grace Kids at the first service and the second service, but beginning in the fall, we're going to have Grace Kids at all three services. Some of you don't know we have a third service. We do. It's for people who sleep a long time. What's amazing about this, and this is just between me and you and like the 1,000 people watching online, but what's amazing about that is I always thought like the third service would be the most awake. They're not. They're like by far the sleepiest group, by far. Like just rolled out of bed, 11 o'clock, made their way here, barely made it here. It's unbelievable. But in that third service, one of the things that we want to do is we continue to create space for people to be a part of what God's doing here, is that we want to be able to open that up for families to be a part of that third service as well. And we need people to help us make that a reality. And the summer's a great time for you to begin to get trained and get prepared so that when we get to the fall, you can make that impact. It's a great time to start impacting people. As we walk into the summer, what is your summer built around? Is it built around what matters? And oftentimes the reality is you don't have to change your plans all that much. It's just a change of perspective. It's a change of perspective. It's a change in how you use the time, how you engage the space. Let's make sure we don't come to the end of the summer and not have it be a summer that impacted eternity. Not have it be a summer that impacted what mattered most. Today, one of the really cool things is that we get to celebrate with it. Four individuals who've stepped into this relationship with Jesus for the first time. And we're going to celebrate that through something that we call baptism. Now baptism is a physical step of what's happened in our lives spiritually, that who we once were is gone and that we've been made new, that we've been made new from the inside out. Now, there's a couple things that are interesting about baptism here at Hoboken Grace. I want to talk to you specifically about the first, which is this. I try never to baptize anyone alone, by myself here at Hoboken Grace. I want them to be surrounded by those who've been significant in their life spiritually. Why? Because I want you to see people who believe that people mattered. I want for you to be able to see what's possible and the impact that can happen when you live like people are what matters most. And I want for you to know that behind every story that we see on this stage, behind every baptism that takes place, there's people who decided to serve that person, to love that person, to invite that person. And today, as these individuals take this step, I hope that it will ignite in us, maybe for the first time, or that it will fuel the flame in us to live our lives, not just for the moment, not just to feed our appetite, to live our lives for what matters most, what Jesus gave his life for.
which is people. See, it's my prayer that every single one of you will one day be on this stage. Not just as you take the step of baptism, but as you baptize your friend, your family member, your coworker, because you decided to live for what matters most, which is people. Will you pray with me? Father, we want to celebrate those who have come to take this step today. We want to celebrate those who invested in, those who invited, those who loved them along this journey. Father, we want to be able to live a summer that we can look back on and know that it didn't just matter for a moment. It wasn't a summer that led to destruction, but it was a summer that led to life. Not just our life, but life in the lives of the people around us. Father, it's remarkable that we get to be a part of this journey in other people's lives. And we just pray that you'd continue to use us in that way. In Jesus' name, amen.